Khoonie, The Crimes of India is a thoroughly researched podcast that uses publicly available documents, reports, and books and associated media to provide listeners with a complete picture of the week's case. The following content is often graphic and regularly uncomfortable. Mentions of assault, bodily harm, and death may follow. Khoonie, The Crimes of India does not condone any actions mentioned in the episode. Minors are advised to exercise caution before proceeding. Thank you. Namaste, Namaskaram, welcome to Khoonie. I'm Sneha, sitting in Hyderabad, and joining me on Skype is Aditi, who's in Lucknow, currently dreaming of all the tunde kebab she can't eat.
Hey guys, how's everyone doing?
Let us know how is hashtag lockdown life coming along. Will you be able to survive the 21 days? Please stay sane. Do things that will help you stay sane. We do not need any more content for this podcast. There's already a shit ton out there. Really. Anyway, moving on. This is not the first episode. We are working very hard to release that soon.
But in the meantime, to keep you all interested and to give you a small sample of what this podcast will be like, we decided to release a short episode, a shorty, if you will.
Like the chicken 65 before the biryani.
Exactly.
Now, keeping in mind the theme of this episode, we will talk about India's youngest serial killer.
A little on the nose, but, you know, bear with us. Okay. On a hot day in May of 2007, Chun Chun Devi left her six-month-old infant daughter at a primary school to shop for groceries in her village of Musahari in Bihar.
Wait, did she just leave her infant daughter all alone in a primary school?
Yeah, so obviously there is no concept of babysitters in India, we know that. I mean, those who can afford help, they hire it. But generally, for most people, especially those living hand-to-mouth, it's a luxury. So children are left either in the care of willing relatives or they're just left alone while parents tend to their work or chores, etc.
Oh, okay. Got it.
All right, moving on. The details of what happened next are not very clear. But what is clear is that Chun Chun Devi came back to find her daughter missing. Immediately, the villagers got involved in the search. The police eventually found the lifeless body of the young girl in a shallow grave nearby, covered with leaves, grass, and dirt. And surprisingly, fingers were almost unanimously being pointed at little Amardeep Sada.
How little was this guy anyway?
About 8 or 9 years old at this point, that's it.
What the hell? That's not even double digits. Some accomplishment, I must say.
Yeah, exactly. And as bizarre as it sounds to accuse an 8 or 9 year old of murder, the villagers were in fact right to suspect the young child. Because without any hint of shame or remorse, Amardeep confessed to killing the girl immediately. In fact, he even led everyone to the site where he had buried the infant. Eventually, the boy was handed over to the police. The officer in charge, Shatrughan Kumar of Bhagwanpur Police Station, questioned the boy in what I imagined was utter disbelief. He eventually told reporters that the boy spoke little, smiled a lot, and weirdly asked for biscuits during his interrogation.
Right, that is so creepy. Guys, we've posted a picture of this boy on Twitter and our Insta pages. Please go check it out. The kid has the creepiest smile ever. I mean, I've seen my fair share of pictures of true crime bigwigs like Kemper, Dahmer, Bundy, but this dude's smiles are creepier than all of them combined. I swear. Also, on that note, we have a PSA for all the parents who are listening to this podcast. If your child smiles a lot, asks for biscuits, maybe it's a good idea to keep them away from other infants. Better safe than sorry.
Yeah, we are not child experts. Please don't listen to us. This is just a joke. Anyway, moving on. On May 30th, 2007, Amardeep informed the police that he took the girl from where she had been asleep, laid her down on the ground, and bludgeoned her to death with a stone. I believe Amardeep's exact words were, and pardon me for slipping into my native Bhojpuri for just a sec, but khapadiya pe maar maar ke suta de li hai, which basically means I hit her on the head with a stone until she was dead, which is intense coming from an 8 or 9 year old.
Now, so the question is, how did the entire village know to suspect the little boy?
Yeah, so it turns out that one murder does not a serial killer make. Amardeep had, in fact, killed before. Twice.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah, so we could not find details of other killings in any news reports. And in fact, the police maintains that this allegation is unsubstantiated. But Amardeep's uncle told local journalists that he was responsible for the death of his 8-month-old maternal cousin and a 6-month-old baby sister also.
Now, you can actually refer to two books here. The Deadly Dozen by Anirban Bhattacharya and Twisted by Shirish Thorad and Sampradha Karandikar. The thing about these two books, though, is we don't know how reliable they are. I mean, sure, read them for the thrill of it, but that's about it.
Yeah, and Anirban Bhattacharya gets really graphic with the details of the death and of the entire event, in fact. But just a disclaimer, he does not provide any sources. It's not clear whether these are first-person accounts or details from police reports. In fact, we don't know if he's completely making these up either. So read them at your own peril. Anyway, almost a year before the murder of this baby girl, Amardeep's aunt had left her baby in his mother Parul's care so she could take a job outside the village. She came back a few months later to the horrible news of her baby's death.
What do you mean she came back to the horrible news of her baby's death? Didn't they tell her the minute it happened?
No, so apparently she was only informed when she came back, and in the meantime, the family just hushed up the matter. Apparently, Amardeep had strangled the baby to death and buried him in a shallow grave, like he did with the baby girl.
Ugh, I don't know how the mother did not go ballistic over everybody who was there. And also, why she didn't go to the police. Maybe they painted the whole thing as an accident and pleaded with her to keep the matter quiet. It's not clear. But stories of abuse within the family are often brushed under the carpet in India. And to extend that attitude to murder may be an overreach, but entirely not impossible.
Exactly. And the same thing happened when Amardeep allegedly murdered his own sister. Amardeep's sister was born a few months after this episode with his cousin. And when she was about 6 months old, one day her mother found her unresponsive. She was dead. And once again, when Amardeep was questioned, he simply nodded and confessed to killing his own sister. And once again, the matter was immediately brushed under the carpet.
At least now did he give a reason?
No, we don't have any details of the killings, obviously, like what he was thinking or how he carried out the killings. There aren't any interviews from psychotherapists, etc. News reports also don't go into the details of the murders. There is no judgment in this matter also, because I believe a JJB judgment would be confidential. Only the book, The Deadly Dozen, written by Anirban Bhattacharya, describes the incidents in a very colorful manner. But again, to be honest, given the lack of sources, it's hard to say whether the author took creative liberties or gave actual first-person accounts. So can't rely on it. Anyway, Amardeep was assessed by a Patna-based psychoanalyst called Shamshad Hussain, who said that the boy prima facie appears to be a sadist who derives pleasure from inflicting injuries on other people. In an interview to Telegraph India, Nant Kumar, a psychotherapist with All India Institute of Medical Sciences, said, quote, "Such cases need immediate medical intervention. Doctors need to address the chemical imbalance in patient's brain. Some medical experts refer to this condition as a conduct disorder."
Now, what is conduct disorder? Conduct disorder is a mental disorder diagnosed in childhood or adolescence that presents itself through a repetitive and persistent pattern of behavior in which the basic rights of others or major age-appropriate norms are violated. These behaviors are often referred to as antisocial behaviors. Now, according to the American Psychiatric Association, it is often seen as the precursor to antisocial personality disorder, which is per definition not diagnosed until the individual is 18 years old. Common behaviors associated with this disorder include stealing and lying, excessive physical and verbal aggression, rule breaking, and violence.
So, we are not experts in the field.
We are both lawyers, by the way.
Yeah. We don't want to get too technical about this issue, but conduct disorder can be a result of abnormalities in the brain or environmental factors like experiencing violence at a young age. Children who suffer from this condition will be prone to setting fires, hurting animals, or even sexual abuse of a younger child. And a lot of the times, such behavior flies under the radar in Indian families, as happened with Amardeep's case.
And again, there is not much information about Amardeep's behavior other than the fact that he smiled a lot and showed almost no remorse for his actions. We don't know anything about how he was with other kids his age or how he did at school or whether he did go to school. Now, when questioned about his actions, though, he told the truth. The only action that may have indicated he had some understanding that he should not be killing babies is that he buried his victim. So maybe he did have the faintest idea of right from wrong. It is also entirely possible that he picked up the fact that dead bodies have to be buried by just watching social behavior around him.
Could be. The minimum age for criminal responsibility in India is 7 years. And Amardeep, as per law, would have been produced before a juvenile justice board. We know that he was sent to a remand home at Munger in Bihar for about 3 years. Also, we would like to point out that the Juvenile Justice Act states that the central and state governments must be guided by principles of right to privacy and confidentiality of the child, but this is rarely followed. And even in this case, the media houses immediately released the name and photograph of the child without any legal action. Although this was before the amendments to the Juvenile Justice Act after the Nirbhaya case.
Now, he would be an adult now, roaming freely in society. And the Act prescribes various rehabilitation and reintegration services to be provided in institutions for children. And mental care, healthcare is one of them. And I would love to think that he got the help he needed in the remand home and was able to reform. But given the generally pathetic state of mental health care in India, especially in the criminal justice system, I wouldn't bet on it.
No. And other than that, there is no information of his whereabouts today, which all things considered is good. If he is reformed and has been treated for his mental issues, he should be given a fighting chance to live his life as normally as possible as an adult, I think. And that is the story of India's youngest serial killer, Amardeep Sada.
Whoa, that was intense. Also, we just recorded our first shorty. We'd love to know what you guys think. Let us know if you'd like to do any more of these shorties during this lockdown time. Please share your feedback on Instagram or Twitter. Links are given in the description below, as are all our sources in case you want to dig deeper.
Yeah, but no trolling, please. Be nice. And we will release our full episode very soon, but that's it for today.
And in the meantime, do not forget to wash your hands and don't leave your house. See ya!